Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order. One of the things that I have learned over and over again is that when God calls us to obedience, it's rarely comfortable. And I used to think that when we learn lessons, that's it. It's like when we go to school, we know them, they're in our brains, they're in our hearts. For me, obedience is one of those things that I have to learn over and over and over again. I think if I'm honest, or if we're honest, many of us are like that. So today we're unpacking the idea of obedience and what that means and how God calls us to it. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like He's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear His voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's Word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. Today, we're talking about this idea of listening to God's voice. And of course, we talk about this all the time on the podcast, but I want to really hone in on that idea of listening. And I'm not just talking about hearing God's voice, but really listening to God's voice, listening and being obedient to what it is that He's calling us to do. And I think for many of us, there are certain times in our lives that it is really easy to listen to what God is telling us to do. When there's a call to go and help out a friend, it is easy for me to do it. It might be a little bit inconvenient, but I don't have hard feelings about stepping out in obedience to go help that friend. Or when my daughter calls and she's 3.5 hours away and needs to go to the emergency room, it is not difficult to either get in the car or call an Uber to get her over to the ER. Those are really easy things for me to do. Uncomfortable, possibly because of the emotions involved, or maybe there's a financial strain. Yes, I get that. But even in the midst of circumstances or inconvenience or financials, that's not typically the problem. The problem happens when God calls us to do something that stretches us. And I think we all find ourselves in those moments, and we have a choice to make. We can either listen to what God is telling us to do, or we can ignore what God is telling us to do. And I think that's a pivotal point for us, because often, I mean, the very reason we have this podcast is because I have people saying to me, how do I know? How do I know that it's God's voice versus my own voice? Well, one of the ways that we know that is by being obedient when God tells us to do something, or when we think God is telling us to do something. And I often say that it's kind of like a radio dial. And maybe you don't know what that means because of the way that we have our radio and our music delivered to us in these days. But in the old days, if you ever got in an old car, you would have to turn the knob little by little until you got close to the radio station. And if you went past it too far, it would get fuzzy again. If you didn't get quite there, it would remain fuzzy. You only had the clear voice of the radio host when you dialed in the right way. And I think being obedient to what God is telling us to do is very much like that. Every time you take a step of obedience, we get clearer on what God's voice is and isn't. Now, I think the pushback is the insecurity of not knowing for sure. And I will tell you, there have been plenty of times in my life, especially as a younger believer, where I felt that Lord was telling me to do something and it didn't go as planned. It didn't go the way I thought it would go. And I'm not saying that those things were wrong. Either God can and will use those in the future, or it's a lesson in helping me discern what's my voice and what's the Lord's voice. But one of the things that I think is important to remember is that God's voice will never ever contradict God's word. And so examining what God is saying, or we think he's saying, against God's word is a really good place to start. You know, it's interesting because there have been times over my life, I was thinking about this morning, there's been times in my life where the Lord has called me to do seemingly small things for him, but that were still really uncomfortable for me. And one recently, just a couple months ago, I was headed up to the mall with one of my daughters, and we were going to go shopping for the day and get some lunch and just have a mom and daughter day. And I had, I think, a $20 bill sitting in my drawer, and I like to keep cash, a little bit of cash in the house, because I have teenagers and, you know, they think money grows on trees. And so the last minute need money to go to a game or something. And so I had that $20 bill sitting in my drawer, and the Holy Spirit said, put that in your pocket. And I was like, okay, thinking maybe we'd pick up some chocolate or do something special with my daughter, or I don't know. And so I stuck it in my pocket, didn't even think again about it. And so we start going throughout our day, we're shopping, we're having a good time, and we pull into a parking lot of TJ Maxx, and there's a young man standing there with a violin. And it was actually a pretty neat looking violin, it was really beautiful. And he had a poster there, and I didn't really quite understand what was happening until we opened the car door and I heard that he was playing a worship song. And I will tell you, it was some of the most beautiful, it was definitely the most beautiful violin I've ever heard, but it was some of the most beautiful worship music I've ever heard in my life, right there in the parking lot of TJ Maxx. And as he is playing, I'm just really, really moved. And the Holy Spirit said, give him that money. And I was like, oh, this is what, why you told me to do that. And I was like, oh, I hate to say it, but I'm like, 20 bucks, Lord? Like, can I just go get change? And God said, no, just give it to him. And so as I walked up to him to give him this money, I see this sign, and I can clearly see it for the first time. And it said, I don't speak English. My daughter is sick. We need to take her to the hospital. And so I looked at the sign and I looked at him, and he kind of had some tears in his eyes. And I just said, your daughter. And he shook his head. He just kind of nodded, yes. And he pointed to the car, and there was a car not just maybe 5 feet away from us, where there was a young girl and his wife sitting in the car. And you could tell this baby was sick. This isn't like one of those times where it's a scammer and he was just gonna take off. And honestly, even if it was, that's not what the Spirit of God was telling me. And so I gave him the money, but more than that, I said, can I pray for you? And he just kind of looked at me, and I made the motion to pray. And then he nodded with tears in his eyes. And I knew that he was not going to be able to understand a word I was saying, or maybe a word, but not most of what I was saying. But I knew that the Holy Spirit could. And so I started to pray for him, and I prayed for his daughter, and I prayed for his wife, and I prayed for the situation. And it was such an impact on me, because it did call me to do something, well, two things that was kind of uncomfortable for me. It was kind of uncomfortable to just hand over 20 bucks. It was kind of uncomfortable to pray right there in the TJ Maxx parking lot. But yet, that's what God was calling me to do. And what I will say is I walked away from that situation knowing that I was being obedient to God. I don't know if the money really went towards taking her to the doctor. I don't really know. But what I do know is that I experienced peace, where the Lord said, okay, just look for those kinds of situations where we can be obedient to God, even when it doesn't seem to make sense. There was another time where I had been in a situation where I was separated in a relationship from somebody that had treated me really, really poorly. And they were getting ready to leave the area, and I had not really spoken to them in a while. And there was some hurts there, definitely some hurts there. And I had been working through forgiveness on my own, but there had not been any kind of reconciliation in the relationship. And as I was just kind of thinking in my own flesh, like, I'm kind of glad they'll be gone, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to bless them. And I was like, no, I don't want to bless somebody that has been harsh with me or unkind or dishonest or hurtful. And the Lord said, you remember that whole love your enemies thing? And I was like, oh, I don't want to. And, you know, I'm like a toddler with God sometimes. And so he kept prompting this on my heart. And so I think I have talked about this on the podcast before, but I still think it's an appropriate example. And so I went and I got some gift cards for one of their favorite stores and, or a gift card. And I came back and I don't know how it happened, but somehow that gift card ended up in the trash. And so the day came that I was going to go and give this gift card to them. And I could not find it, could not find it, could not find it. And I was like, there's a lot of money on there, but yet if this gets me off the hook and it means I don't have to go, then I'm good with it. And God said, go look in the garbage. And I was like, oh man, that's so gross. Like our garbage, we have a pretty big garbage can and it was the end of the week, which means it was filled with several garbage bags. And so I went outside and I saw this garbage can that was filled to the brim with grossness. And I just did not want to get in that garbage can. And the Holy Spirit said, look in the garbage. And so as I start digging through the garbage, I had to dump it out. I had to get it on its side, pull all the garbage out. Of course, the gift card was at the very, very bottom. I don't even know how that happened. But as I'm literally climbing inside the garbage can, kind of muttering under my breath, I said to the Lord, this is disgusting. And this person never apologized. And this person is, I'll be honest, this person is garbage. Like, I don't want to be doing this. I'm being obedient, but my attitude was like, Lord, I don't want to do this. And he said to me, this isn't about them. This is about you and me.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
Lord, I don't want to do this. And he said to me, this isn't about them. This is about you and me. And I was like, okay, I love you enough to get in this garbage can right now, even if I don't feel like I love this other person enough. And so I got in the garbage can, I got the gift card out, I ended up going, and as I'm handing that gift card over and just speaking a blessing over them, despite my feelings, the Lord said, now, was that so hard? And if I'm honest, it was hard. It was uncomfortable. It was gross. I did not want to do it, but I love the Lord enough to do it. But sometimes God calls us to do these things that don't seem to make sense to us. But I realize now that a lot of those moments had nothing to do with the actual situation at hand. It had more to do with what God wanted to do in me through that situation. There was another time where I was on the mission field and we were in Kenya and we had this opportunity for the first time ever. I had this opportunity to go into the red light district in Nairobi. And the red light district in any town in America is dangerous and scary, but to do that in Kenya, in Nairobi, I thought for sure I was going to get murdered. And I was pretty new to that whole world of anti-trafficking, and it was very early on in my career, and I was scared out of my mind. And we really only had one security guard with us, and it was really a situation where I did not know what the outcome was going to be. And the purpose of that was not to just go down there, but to go and speak to this room of girls that had been prearranged to come for the night. And they thought that they were coming. I don't even know what they really thought they were coming for. They were coming for a dinner. And it ended up that we gave them the gospel. And at that time, we were able to minister to them. But I did not want to go. I was consumed with fear. I had a lot of fear initially about going to Kenya in the first place. And of course, the Lord has worked in my life since that time. But to specifically go to the red light district in Nairobi, knowing that if you disappear down there, you're gone. And the Lord called me to go. And I struggled with fear, but I kept putting one step in front of the other. And I will tell you, I saw the Holy Spirit show up in a completely new way than I ever had before as he stood in the gap and he met me in that place of fear. And I think there have been times, if I look back over my life, there's been times like that in Kenya where it was very stark and it was probably something that you might not ever experience, down to times where like the money with a violinist or even the garbage gift cart, there's been times in my life where God has called me to obedience. And I have to recognize, just like I think maybe you should recognize, that sometimes our obedience is not about the thing he's called us to do as much as it is about our position with him. See, I really do believe that Jesus calls us to go to the places that no one else will go. At least he's done that for me. Jeremiah 15:19 has been my life verse. It says, if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will be my spokesman. One of the things that God has called me to do is to go into the places that no one else will go and bring the light. And so that means places like garbage dumps or prisons or hospitals, all of those in third world countries where God wants to bring peace and hope and healing. But that doesn't mean that just because that isn't what God has called you to do, it doesn't mean that he doesn't want you to be that light in the darkness. Sometimes that means going to TJ Maxx. Sometimes that means fishing something out of the garbage can. Sometimes that means saying a word of encouragement to somebody that's been harsh with you. That can be really difficult. But yet God calls us to obedience even when it's difficult, even when it costs us something. Because one of the things that I have said over and over again on this podcast is obedience, actual obedience, is rarely comfortable. If anything, that's the whole point. God's trying to stretch us and make us uncomfortable so that we can be used for his glory. One of the things that I think is really important to remember is that the Great Commission does not just call us to make converts, but to make disciples. And not just making disciples, but then if you keep reading in that passage, it says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you always. We're not doing it alone. When we're teaching on obedience, and what's the best way to teach my children on obedience? By showing them that I'm obedient to God when he tells me even to do the things that I don't want to do. That's the way that we teach, by example. And so if my goal is to teach those around me obedience, I have to expect that God is going to call me to obedience. And so I think our response says a lot about our impact or our potential for impact. So for me, what's that mean? For you, what's that mean? I think we are in a season where we're trying to figure out, a lot of us are trying to figure out what's next. What does God want for me next? And right now I'm in a season of writing a book and podcasting. I can't necessarily go and live on the mission field, or I'm raising a family. I have teenagers. I can't necessarily do that. But yet I know that God's heart for the nations is in me. I know that God has called me to make an impact. And so one of the ways that I'm doing that right now is by partnering with Compassion International. I know you guys have heard about that. We've had lots of alumni on the show now to talk about it. But for me and for our family, it's a way that we can continue to invest in God's heart for the nations in a way that makes an impact. And so as you're thinking about this week, I want you to think about a couple questions. I want you to think about, when was the last time that you served someone and it was uncomfortable? Not serving someone because it's a friend of yours or someone had a baby or somebody who had surgery, but when was the last time you served someone simply because God told you to serve them and it was uncomfortable? Have you had those times in your life? And if not, would you be willing to do that? Because I think the first step is not just saying, God, give me something that's uncomfortable, right? Nobody really wants to pray that prayer. But if we start from this place and say, God, would you help my heart to get to the place where I am open and I am willing, because I want to be willing to be obedient, even if I'm not there yet. And then also recognizing that if there have been times in your life where you weren't obedient, it's not an all or nothing thing. I tend to have this all or nothing personality, but that's not the way God is. God gives us grace. Of course, he wants us to be obedient. But if we struggle with that, we understand it's a process. That whole big Bible word, sanctification, means it's a process of becoming more like Christ. Well, what's the idea of a process? The process is you're not there immediately. You go through the process step by step, little by little. It's like turning the radio dial. And sometimes we turn it farther away and we're disobedient and it gets a little bit harder to hear God's voice. And sometimes we take that step of obedience and we get closer to that radio dial and we can hear God's voice a little bit more clearly. God gives us grace in that. But then also when we're disobedient, God can use those moments to help embed into us this memory of what happens when we don't follow God. How did that turn out? Or did it leave a heaviness on us? Because I know for me, when I have chosen, and it's really a choice, when I have chosen not to be obedient, there's a heaviness there where I can't shake it for a while. And God teaches and works in my heart in those situations. But the freedom and the peace that happens from doing something, even if it's uncomfortable when he calls me to do it, that teaches me so much about who he is and how he empowers us to do the things he's called us to do. So for you, where are we going to land with this? I want to just say that if you are somebody that's been considering even giving towards Compassion International, perhaps you are somebody that has a heart for missions, or you have a heart for serving, or you have a heart for God's heart for the nations like we do, then you can give to Compassion. You can go to compassion.com/hearingjesus. But beyond just giving to them, there's a lot of cool ways to give. But my favorite is sponsorship. We actually have, I think we're up to seven or eight. I should know this. I think 8 kids that we are sponsoring now for the show. Our tithe for the show goes to Compassion. That's how much I believe in it. But this past week, I was writing letters to all of our kids, and we had 2 new ones, and one was just a little guy. And I'll tell you what, it blessed and moved my heart so much. I have his picture on the fridge right now, but I was sharing this with my husband and my family. In his letter to me, there's a section where it can say, what would you like to say to your sponsor? Number one, now this little guy, I think he's 4 years old, so it was a translator or an adult that's helping him write it. But the number one thing he said was, I love you so, so much. The number two thing it said was, my prayer for my sponsor is that your family will never leave you. Remember, he's 4 years old. Number three thing said, how would you like your sponsor to pray for you? And it said, pray that my mom and dad will come back. This mama's heart broke for this little guy. And I spent the next 20 minutes or so, I don't even know how long it was, just kind of weeping for this little guy and praying for him, praying God's blessing over him, praying for his little heart. And I'll tell you what, every time I see his photo on our fridge, I'm praying for that little guy. Now, I might not be able to physically go to Rwanda right now, but what I can say is my prayers are in Rwanda right now, just like it is with the rest of the kids on my refrigerator. And every time I go to the fridge, which is a lot because I'm the mom and I'm in the kitchen all the time, I pray for those kids. And I count it such a privilege because there's no distance in the Holy Spirit, right? I know that my prayers go to God's ears and can be with those little ones. And so I would encourage you to just check it out. You can go to compassion.com/hearingjesus and you can look at the list of kids, something special that we have done because I have such a heart for those that have been exploited. And I've worked in Africa for a long time. The first 100 kids that you see on there are kids that have been designated as particularly vulnerable to exploitation, whether by their circumstances with their family or the area that they live in or various other reasons. They have been designated as a high risk or in that exploitation scenario. And so the first 100 kids you'll see on our page are kids that are in need of intervention. And for me, because I can't physically go to the red light district of Nairobi right now, I can help get these kids out of situations, which is what Compassion does. Now, you're going to be learning more about some of the opportunities that you have to give and to serve with Compassion over the next couple months, probably the next year. But in the meantime, I would just encourage you to pray about it. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe your finances aren't there yet. But would you say that prayer of like, Lord, I'm willing to be there. And if it's not Compassion, what does that look like in your life? Is it serving in your local church? Is it praying for a mom in the grocery store that seems overwhelmed? There's all these different things that we can do to serve where we are at. We don't have to go to the mission field in order to serve. I think that's a common misconception. But so oftentimes we fly over a mission field to get to a mission field. And if we remember the words of Jesus, he said, I'm sending you out to Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. It's not or, it's and. God's heart is for all people to know him. And so that might mean your circle, which might just be inside your house right now. And then that might mean your region. It might mean your state. It might be the part of the country you're in or your workplace. It's Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. And so I would just challenge you to pray about it. And even, like I said, if you're not there, pray about getting there, because God wants to sanctify you. He wants to bring you along this process where we have an understanding of who he is in those moments that he has called us to obedience. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the way that your character and your nature is revealed throughout the scriptures and even in our own lives. God, in those moments where I am tempted to be disobedient to the thing that you are calling me to do, God, would you convict my heart? And Lord, in those moments where I know that you are calling me to obedience, God, would you empower and equip me to do those things that feel so hard? God, would you empower and equip my friends to be obedient to the things that you've called them to do? Lord, I thank you for the way that you don't leave us alone, but that you take every single step alongside of us. And Lord, I pray for my little guy that's in Rwanda right now, God. And I would ask that even that my listeners would pray for him. Lord, he has this ache in his heart to know that he is hurting and missing his parents. Lord, we don't know what happened, but you do. God, I pray right now that you would fill him with your spirit, by your love, through your word, in such a way that he understands, even if he can't verbalize it or understand it as this little baby 4-year-old, God, would you fill him, overflow him with your love? Lord, I thank you for the privilege it is to pray for him. And I ask that as people even hear his story, that you would move upon their hearts for the ways that they can help in their own way. Lord, I thank you and praise you in all things. Amen. Okay, just real quick, if you would like to give or find out more about how you can get involved with Compassion International, you can text the words Hearing Jesus to 83393, or you can head to compassion.com/hearingjesus. And also, just a side note, for whatever reason, the Lord has guided me. All of the kids that I have chosen for the show to sponsor are from Rwanda. And several of my friends now have all chosen kids from Rwanda. And my hope is that one day soon, we would be able to take a Hearing Jesus podcast trip to Rwanda, because for whatever reason, that's the way that the Lord has directed me. And I thought it was going to be one of the other countries. And, you know, I do have a heart for all nations, but in this season right now, God has called us to serve in Rwanda. And so I'm just putting that out there in case that's something that's on your heart. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with that, but I do know that some of my close girlfriends and I all have sponsored kids in Rwanda. And so we're just praying and laying that at the feet of Jesus, knowing that if he calls us to obedience, we're going to step out in faith. All right, be blessed, friends. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.